Tuesday the 16th of October, Reb Don Yol Klein, Lech Lecha, the mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael.
Good morning. Avraham Avinu was the first person told by Hashem to go and live in Eretz Canaan, Eretz Yisrael. In fact, since Avraham Avinu came from the east, he came from Choron, from Aram Naharaim, which is modern day Iraq, from the eastern side, we could arguably say that maybe he was the first Mizrahi. Hashem, the question basic that we're going to try and deal with, it's more a way to get into the sugya, is why did Avraham Avinu wait till he was 75 to be mekayem the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael? He had to wait till the prophet said he was 75. Hashem said to him, go lecha kol ha'aretz asher areka. What took him so long? The Gemara in Yuma says that he's got number one on the sheet. The Gemara in Yuma famously says that Avraham Avinu kept the whole Torah. The top line says, and towards the end of the line, kiyem Avraham Avinu kol ha'aretz kula. Shnema Ikeva Sheshama Avram Bekoili, the Apostle carries on, Yishma Mishmati, Mitzvah the Service Torah. So, Avram Avinu kept the whole Torah, and in fact, interesting enough, if you go towards the end of the third line, it says famously, Omar Ravi, Tamer Ravashi, Kiyem Avram Avinu, Filo Eruvay Tavshilin. He kept, not only did he keep Tfilin and Shabbos, he even kept Eruv Tavshilin, Shnema, Torah, Soi, Achas Torah, Shabbat, Achas Torah, Shabbat, everything he kept. Why exactly it says Eruv Tavshilin out of all the mitzvahs, in the Torah of all the mitzvahs to Rabbanon confused the Achronim. It confused them so much they actually have an amendment to the Girsa. They actually want to correct it. They say that originally it was an abbreviation Ayin Tov. The Gemara wants to say that Avraham Avinu kept Ayin Tov, and the printer decided to make that into Erev Tavshilin. Really, it should have been Erev Tachumen. Now, of course, that helps us all tremendously. What's the advantage of Erev Tachumen? So the Achronim say that Tachumen is the ifa to go outside of your town more than 2,000 amos on Shabbat and Yom Tov. So they say that the Gemara was dashing the Pasuk Ekev. The Gemara brought the Pasuk Ekev Asher Sham Avram Bekoili. Ekev is the heel, the foot. So which mitzvah could Avram have been mekayim with his foot? The mitzvah of Erev Tachumen. But basically Avram Avinu kept the whole Torah, and if he kept the whole Torah, what took him 75 years to go to Eretz Yisrael? If he could keep Erev Tavshilin, then why couldn't he keep that mitzvah? In case you think we're making up this idea that he should have kept, it's very difficult to ask questions on the others. Why did they do this? Why didn't they do that? The Rishonim ask, why did Avraham wait till he was 99 to do the mitzvah of Bris Milah? So it's not a question that, let's say, that they do ask him, why did he wait for certain mitzvahs? And the most popular answer given is that there's a concept called Gadol Mitzvah V'Oseh and Misha'ina Mitzvah V'Oseh. For some reason, it's better to be commanded and do the mitzvah than to wait to do it on your own accord, on your own volition. In which case, Bris Milah is a one-off. You can't ever do it again. So Avraham preferred to wait till Hashem told him to do it. But the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, which is something that you can do every second of your life, the question would be, why did Avraham not do it earlier? So the question is flawed in the sense that we've decided that there is in fact a mitzvah called to live in Eretz Yisrael. I know that when I told this to somebody yesterday who's been many years in Kohel, he was astonished that there might not be. Everyone knows, of course you should live in Eretz Yisrael. But in fact, if you look at number two, and I know on your sheet it's a bit slightly, I wish I could say someone else first copied them and made the sheet, but it says in Bamidvar, in the end of, in Parshas Masri, Perek Lamed Gimel, Nun Gimel, the prophet says, Vahirashtem et ha'aretz, just before it details the borders of Eretz Yisrael, it says, Vahirashtem et ha'aretz, Rashi is going to say, you should drive the inhabitants out of the land, you should kick out the seven nations of Canaan, Vishavtem bo, and you should dwell in it. Ki lachem nosati ha'aretz v'resh v'resh, I've given you the land to dwell in it. So Rashi says, Vahirashtem et ha'aretz, that's the one underneath it, number three. Says Rashi, Vahirashtem oisam yoshveho. You should drive out the nations of the world from living in Eretz Yisrael. Va'od vishavtem bo. And then you will be able to live in it. Says Rashi, Tuchu v'zkayim bo. If you drive the nations out of the world, out of the land, then they will not make problems for you. Because if you keep them in, like they did, they'll cause you to do Averis. And by making you do Averis, you'll lose the right to live in Eretz Yisrael, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will kick you out. In which case, the Pasuk is telling you a piece of good advice. V'hirashtem et ha'aretz, if you drive out the nations of the world, of the land, then v'shavtem bo, you'll be able to dwell in it. But the Torah is not telling you I have to. The Torah is telling you a piece of good advice, do it, and then you can dwell in it if you want to stay. That's what you should do. Says the Ramban, who's the next one down, number four. The Ramban says in the beginning of, he first quotes the Pasuk, and he says, Al dati zu mitzvah saseh. This is one of the mitzvahs I say of the Torah. It's one of Tariyag. Yitzav ha'oisam sheyeshu v'aretz, HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded them to live in Eretz Yisrael, v'yarshu oisam, ki hu nosna lehem. He gave it to them. And the next line the Rambam says, V'ilu yale al datum, if it would occur to people in Bnei Yisrael, the leches, or lichvosh eretz shinar, or eretz Ashur, if let's say people would say, we don't want to live in Eretz Yisrael, we want to go to Ashur and Shinar, which is Bavel, the Zulofan, or any other country to go on mass, that's for Uganda, or this Yashiv Shom, Yadra mitzvah Hashem, they are going to be over on a mitzvah Hashem. The mitzvah is not to live together as a group, the mitzvah is dafka to live in Eretz Yisrael. And the Ramban at the end of it will quote Rashi and say that Rashi disagrees. In other words, there's a machlokes, Rashi and Ramban, is there in fact a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael? It's certainly what we would call a good tzedakah, it's certainly a good thing to do, but is there actually a mitzvah to do that? The Ramban says there is a mitzvah, and Rashi says there isn't. In which case, we'd have to rephrase our question. Our question was, why did Avraham Avinu wait 75 years to perform his mitzvah of going to live in Eretz Yisrael? In fact, it's not a question of Rashi. The Gemara never says that Avraham Avinu did good things. The Gemara in Ksuvos is very, at the end of Ksuvos, is very, very flowery with what a good thing it is to live in Eretz Yisrael. It says that it's grounds for divorce if a husband wants to leave and his wife doesn't, or it's grounds for a servant to automatically be freed if the husband, if the master decides to be yoyo to Eretz Yisrael. It's certainly a good thing, but is it actually a mitzvah? No, says Rashi, it's not a mitzvah. Only the Ramban says it actually is a mitzvah to go and live in Eretz Yisrael. So the question is, the Sidi Ramban, why does Avraham wait 75 years? Like they asked by the Smila, why does he take so long? Why does Avraham wait 75 years? So the answer would seem to be, the easiest answer would be to say that it's not even a question. Why is it not a question? So if you have a number 5 on the left hand side, something called the Sefer Seder Olam Rabbah. Now the Seder Olam Rabbah was written by the Tana Rav Yossi. It's one of the oldest, I should say one of the oldest books Sforim we've got. And he basically wrote a timeline. He wrote a timeline from the beginning of Bereishis all the way till after Churban Bayis Rishon, till after the first Beis HaMikdash. A little bit he's got for after the second Beis HaMikdash as well. And he details every single what year it was, all the events in Chumash, he goes through it one by one, what was the year. And the Ramban says, it's a Rashi al HaTorah, Rashi brings it down in Parshas Bo. The Ramban says, if you take it, sorry, the Seder Olam Rabbah says, if you take it from the top, that Avraham Avinu, if you'll believe me, it says it on the middle of the line, but it says that Avraham Avinu had the Bris Ben HaBesorim, we know he had it in Eretz Yisrael. Now if you look in Parshas Lech Lecha, the beginning of Lech Lecha says, Hashem told Avraham, go to Eretz Yisrael. And when you get to Shishi, it starts talking about this thing called the Bris Ben HaBesorim, that Hashem promised Avraham that I'll give you all the lands that where you're resting on. He clearly wasn't Eretz Yisrael when he had the Bris Ben HaBesorim. Hashem said, I'm going to give you this land. And that's all the way at Shishi. Much, much after, the Pasuk says that Avraham went to Eretz Yisrael. However, Rav Yossi says, and in fact it wasn't like that. He says Avraham Avinu was 70 years old when the Bris Ben HaBesorim happened. Avraham Avinu, he says, Ben Shivim Shana. How do we know that? The Torah says that Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim 430 years after they went into Mitzrayim. Now 430 years was not how long they stayed in Mitzrayim. We know they went in Mitzrayim for 210. We also know there's a number called 400. 400, the Pasuk often says that's from when Yitzchok was born. But where's the number 430? So he says, Rav Yossi, you know where 430 comes from? That's 30 years before Yitzchok was born. Yitzchok was born when Avraham was 100. How old was Avraham 30 years before that? He was 70. In which case, the Bris Ben HaBesorim must have happened when he was 70. Now the Torah is in the wrong order. Even though it says at the beginning of the parasha Lech Lecha that he was 75 when he was commanded to go, he really, when you get to Shishi, he was only 70. And now the Torah has gone in the wrong order. Why exactly it does that, it's not for us. In which case, says the Rav Yossi, in fact, Yorod L'Choron, we think that at the age of 75 he went from Choron to Eretz Yisrael. We've missed out half his life. In fact, at 70 he was already in Eretz Yisrael, and only then did he decide to go back to Choron. In which case, the question would be very simply answered. How could Avraham wait till he was 75 to go to Eretz Yisrael? The answer is, he didn't. In fact, he was there beforehand. He actually only went to Choron after already being in Eretz Yisrael. In fact, the old Midrashim, there's a Sefer Midrashim called Sefer HaYosha, which in many thousands of years ago they actually thought was might be a little part, they thought it was an extract from the Sefer. So in it they bring down lots of Midrashim about the Ovis, that their stories, their personal, very, very interesting. In fact, it says that Avraham Avinu has lots of stories. It says that when he was born, Nimrod saw in the stars, it sounds a bit like Paro, that there was going to be a son, a person being born who was going to wipe him out and destroy him, and he went around finding who it was, and he discovered it's Terach's son, and he told Terach, go and kill your son, and Terach didn't want to kill his son for obvious reasons, and so he hid him, and Avraham ran away to Noach to learn Torah, and then he came back, and only at the age of 55 did he actually smash the idols? You know, the story that he took there, I understood the impression he was like a 4-year-old kid, you know, a clever 4-year-old kid smashed all the idols and said, "Daddy, you know, this idol when I did it, smashed all of them up." The Gemara says he's actually 52 or 55. So in fact, he had a long, long history, obviously, as a man of 75. I don't know, but maybe some people could come. A man of 75 has a long, long history, and therefore he's done many things, and in fact he had been to Eretz Yisrael beforehand. In which case, the mitzvah of Eretz Yisrael is so great that Avraham Avinu had done it. Back to our original premise, which is, why did Avraham Avinu wait so long? The answer is, he didn't wait so long, he had been there already. The Ramban, in this week's parasha, makes a huge chiddush. It's something that we were not, at least in school, we weren't taught, and it changes a perspective of something that we always taught. And it could be, maybe we could suggest that this, the Masoikis that we're going to see in the Rashi, in the Ramban, is actually, the Shittosam, it actually makes sense of what they hold, whether or not there is a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. The Pasuk says, right at the beginning of this week's Pasha, that there was a famine. And what Avraham Avinu do when he came? He ragged Eretz Yisrael, he schlepped all the way from Haran, Hashem said, go, go, go. He gets there, builds two mizbeah, thanks Hashem, and suddenly there's a famine. What does he do? Does he complain? No, he doesn't complain, he just goes straight down to Mitzrayim. Right, he read it yesterday morning, straight down to Mitzrayim, no complaint. He has all the sorrows he has with sorrow captured, but no complaints. And in fact, if you look, Rashi says in number 7, just the pasuk was above it, about the famine, Rashi says that Ra'av Ba'aretz, there was a famine in the land, says Rashi, Ba'aytza Ha'aretz Tavadah, the only place there was a famine was in Eretz Yisrael. And why does Hashem make a famine just in Eretz Yisrael? Then Asoi say to test Avraham, in Yahara Achad Varash HaKadosh Baruch Hu, would he actually protest? Would he think about saying, say to Hashem, you know Hashem, this isn't fair, you let me out, you brought me here, it's very, very unnice, it's not very nice what you're doing to me. Sha'omalai, he told him, Alecha Tadei Es Kanan, Va'achshav Masiyah L'Tesim Mena, now you're making me leave. It's in number 7.
Top of number 8.
The question would be, is Avraham Avinu going to complain? It was an Nisayon. In fact, we won't do it now, but on the side you have a Pirkei of a Lezer, a Medrash, that actually counted as one of the Eser Nisayonis for Avraham Avinu. Would he complain? He got to Eretz Yisrael, there's a famine, no food, no complaints whatsoever, went straight down to Eretz Mitzrayim. The Ramban, which has now been photocopied appallingly, because in fact the bit of Ramban you want to see, even though it's just underneath that, it says there's three lines there, and it's the end of the third line, and then it jumps all the way to the bottom of the page. There are two lines at the bottom of the page. So the Ramban says that you've got the whole idea wrong. The Ramban says that the middle of these third lines, the third line underneath that Rashi, starts. The Ramban says, "Gam yitziyose min ha'aretz." Even when Avraham left Eretz Canaan, shnitzav aleh mitzchila, where he was commanded to go, and then if you jump to the bottom, mitnei harav, two lines from the bottom, that he was commanded to go there, and he left it because of the famine, avoin asher chotah. This was a serious avera that he did. Ki ha'lekim barav yistenim amavet. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows full well how to save a person from famine. He didn't tell you to leave. But al hamaisa hazeh, look at this Ramban. And as a punishment for Avram leaving Eretz Canaan without Hashem telling him, nixer al zarei hagolus be'eretz Mitzrayim bi'atarei, they were decreed to go into Golus. You know, you went down for a famine. Many generations later, Yaakov was going to go down in a famine as well, and he's going to stay there for many, many years and work very hard. The place that you get judged, Yaakov is going to get judged. Middle connected, middle. That's where you did. That's where the fault was. That's where the avera was. The Ramban said a huge avera. Obviously, the Mefarshim on the Medrash say that obviously the Medrash that said it's one of the Nisyonis of Avraham obviously is not like the Ramban. A huge, huge machlokes Rashi and Ramban. When Avraham went down on his own, he wasn't told to go down to Mitzrayim, he left. Was he doing a good thing or was he doing a bad thing? It could be, it's for sure not certain, it could be that Rashi you hold that there's no mitzvah to stay in Eretz Yisrael. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me to go there because it's a good thing to go to Eretz Yisrael, but if there's a famine, I don't have to stay, I can leave. The Ramban who holds that there is a positive mitzvah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling me, go do the mitzvah in Eretz Yisrael. If you're doing the mitzvah, then maybe there's a different rule as to when and how to decide how to leave Eretz Yisrael. Forgot to mention that it's not just the Rashi who holds there's no mitzvah in Eretz Yisrael, the Rambam also holds there's no mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. We'll end off this idea that there's a big nafka minna, very, very for nowadays nafka minna. What, obviously, to live in Eretz Yisrael is a mitzvah, that's in itself a huge practical concern. Do you have to go and live there or not? So it's a machlokes. However, when it comes to Shemitah, so the farmers, We're not allowed, this year is a Shemitah year, we're not allowed to eat food that's grown by a Jewish farmer. However, food that's grown by a non-Jewish farmer, nowadays there's no problem. If an Arab grows the cucumbers, then there's no problem to eat them. So they rely, or they used to rely many years ago, on the Hetem Mechira, which was that they would temporarily sell their land to an Arab for a year, and during the course of Shemitah year, the food would all be owned by an Arab, and therefore you could buy. The biggest problem with the Hetem Mechira was that it was not like the Ramban. The Ramban said, you have to kick the nations of the world out. It's a mitzvah. You have to live there. In which case, you're not allowed to sell. Even assuming that people actually meant it. Of course, there's always a problem, like when you said your chametz. There's always a problem that when they sell the land, they didn't actually mean to sell the land. Are the farmers really intend to give up their livelihood for the year following Shemitah? But it's actually offered to sell the land. So that's a very practical nafka minna that they bring down as to whether or not there is a mitzvah for Shemitah. As we mentioned, even if there may not be a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael, it's for sure a good thing, right? But the extent to which it's a good thing is brought home again in another Rashi, another Ramban. That, by the way, if anyone ever has time to do Rashi or Ramban, you get the impression that there's a wealth in them, obviously. You can follow their themes through very often through the whole Torah. Rashi says a chiddush amazing. Rashi says in Parshas Ekev, I don't know if you have number 11 or you don't, but you have the pasuk in Devarim, which says the pasuk from Kriyat Shema, the Samtem Estvara Eila Alavavchem Val Nashchem, that you should put the Torah on your hearts. It's going to come to Mitzvah Tefillin, Rukshatem, Oitam Loifad Yetchem. It's in the end of Parshas Ekev, and says Rashi, Roshmartem Estvarai, Samtem Estvarai, sorry, the line under, Af La'acha Shetigu, even after you go to Golus, hey, you mitzvah the mitzvah. Make sure you do mitzvah even after you go to Golus. You have to perform your mitzvah after you go to Golus. Now, obviously, we have to perform mitzvah, but which mitzvah are we missing out on? If we live in England or live abroad, which mitzvah are we not mekayim? Shmitah, become mekayim, the mitzvah of truma, right? All mitzvahs that are dependent on Eretz Yisrael. Says Rashi, hinichu tefillin. Make sure even in Golus you put on tefillin. Also mezuzahs. Make sure you do mezuzahs. Kedesh lo yiyu lachem chadoshim kishetachzur. In order that these mitzvahs will not be ki'ilu, like, I won't know what to do. How do I put on tefillin when I get back to Eretz? You know why you put on tefillin in London? Because when you get back to Eretz, you're going to have to know how to put on tefillin. Come on, this is a huge chiddush. Rashi says it. It comes also from a medrash. But it opens our eyes up to the maila of living in Eretz Yisrael. Even the mitzvah of tefillin, even the regular mitzvahs, the mitzvah have nothing to do with the land, they are also connected to Eretz Yisrael. The main place to makayim them is in Eretz Yisrael. Diverting for a minute, this Rashi, the Maharsham was the step-grandfather of Rav Meir Shapiro, right, the Daf Yomi originator. So he uses this Rashi, this Chiddush, to answer an Erevin question, which bothers all the Achronim. When it comes to, everyone by now knows, when it comes to Erevin, there's a problem with the Rishus HaRabim. Rishus HaRabim cannot be Erevin. You have to do a certain type of tricks to Erev a Rishus HaRabim. So we want to minimize the possibility of a Rishus HaRabim. So there's a Machlokes Rashi in Rabbeinu Tam, what's called a Rishus HaRabim. Rashi famously holds you have to have 600,000 people, which is something that's very unusual, and therefore today's poskim very often take on Shittas Rashi in order to make sure that the place is not called a Rishus HaRabim. Rabbeinu Tam disagrees. He says that as long as it's a public place, Golders Green Road, as long as it's a public place, that would be good enough. Not a street where people live, but as long as the place that people gather, it doesn't have to be 600,000 people. All the Achronim ask on Rashi that say that you need 600,000 people can't be true. Can't be true. There's many Gemaras they say that don't stim with Rashi. Famous Gemaras that all of us know. Why don't we blow Shofar when Rosh Hashanah falls on Shabbos? Why don't we shake the Lulav and Esrog when Rosh Hashanah falls on, when Sukkot falls on Shabbos? The reason is, says Rava, you might come to carry it for Amos and Rosh Hashanah. Now, according to Rashi, how likely is it? We're talking not in today's world, there are maybe some places that have 600,000 people, but in for the past 2,000 years, they couldn't find a single place in the world that had such a gathering of people. They don't understand, how could it be, according to Rashi, that for 2,000 years, You don't find a Rishus HaRabim, and we still don't blow the shofar on Shabbos. We don't, we're mevatel a mitzvah d'oraisa, and not to blow shofar, not to shake lulav and etzer, and you can't even find a Rishus HaRabim. It makes no sense. It must be like Rabbeinu Tam says, that any public area is a Rishus HaRabim, and therefore, you can, that's why Chazal said, don't blow the shofar. Otherwise, where are you going to find a Rishus HaRabim according to Rashi? That's what the little extra at the bottom of the page, it's the Bi'ah Halacha, the Chofetz Chaim, that's what he's asking. You have to trust me. So the Maharsham answers, based on this Rashi, he says that, you know where the, where's the major place in the world to keep mitzvahs? In Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, the Gemara says quite clearly that with Mana Migdosh, there was a Rishus HaRabim. There was, all the people were living in Eretz Yisrael. Everyone used to come there. And be Mos HaMashiach and Mashiach comes, Mitz Hashem, also, there'll be a Rishus HaRabim. In which case, Enoch and Ami nowadays, there is no such thing as a Rishus HaRabim, but who cares? We're only being Mekayim the mitzvahs, purely so that one day, when we get back, even a mitzvah like Shabbos, we're only doing it so that one day when we get back to Eretz Yisrael, we'll know how to mekayim the mitzvah. In which case, who cares if nowadays there's no Rishus HaRabim? Since in the future it's going to be a matter of concern, for 2,000 years we are not going to mekayim the mitzvah, because in the future the main place to mekayim mitzvah is in Eretz Yisrael, and that's where we're going to be, do it. So who cares if nowadays there's no Rishus HaRabim? We have to practice like that. Rather than, I know normally Fridays you do your Tzav Torah, I hope if you don't mind, but for a few minutes, I heard, it'll take quite a few minutes, but I heard when I was in Mir, we heard from someone called Rav Zilba. We didn't hear from him, we heard the shame from his son-in-law. Rav Zilba is was a big Russian Rav who lived to the age of 90, and he used to encourage all the Russian Bali Tshuva who came to Eretz Yisrael. He was like their mentor, he was their big Rav. And he said a very, very, in other words, besides imaginative, I don't have, a very imaginative book, and it's very powerful. It's just a matter of whether you like it or you don't like it. He asks a question. It says in this week's parasha that Kedor La'omer went to fight Sodom. There was the battle of the four kings with the battle of the five kings, and Kedor La'omer is the one who's meant to be getting taxes, right? Sodom stopped paying him taxes, all the five kings stopped paying, and he's going to fight, and he brings with him three other kings. And one of them is Nimrod. The question was, why did Nimrod go with? Even though it's Kedor La'omer's concern, he's the one who's meant to be getting the money. What did Nimrod, we know, was the world superpower. What did Nimrod bother to come with if Kedor La'omer's got a problem? And have a problem, you don't bring along the world superpower to help. Now, it's not such a strong question. Of course, he could have had a pact or a treaty with him. But that was the starting of the question. But the next question is for sure a question on the parasha. It says Avraham Avinu, when he heard that Kedor La'omer had captured Lot, he ran with his 318 men, maybe it was just Eliezer, he ran to go and fight. Now Avraham Avinu, it's impossible to understand. Ein sense na anis. You're one against four kings who've destroyed Og. You know, Og was the last remainder, the last person who remained from his entire country. So we're obviously talking about strong people, the warriors. How could Avraham Avinu rely on a miracle to go and save his nephew Lot? What excuse did he possibly have? Surely ein sense na anis. That was the question he asked. He gave that, as I said, in a very imaginative character, it catches at the imagination. Instead, the prophet says also in this week's parasha, so you have a lot to do on Lech Lecha, that Avram and Lot had an argument. Lot's sheep went around to other people's fields, and they were eating all the food that they could find, all the grass. And Avram said to Lot, it's just not right, you can't go and steal other people's food. And the prophet says, Achim anachnu, we're brothers, how can you do such a thing? And Rashi says that Doimek lest upon him Zulazu, they look like each other. And the Farshim say Avram is very worried. He goes around preaching to the whole world to listen to Hashem, and everyone will think that it's his sheep that are stealing other people's grass. And Avram you can't have that. So he tells Lot, none of this. You have to stop. Either you go right and I go left. We have to settle it. Because Rav Zilba, Nimrod has a lot of connection with Avram's family. He's tried to throw Avram into the fire, and he didn't die. Horon, who was Lot's father, actually did get thrown in the fire at the end of last week's parasha, and he died. Nimrod knows the family well. Sodom is where Lot lives. He's going to run. He hears Kedor La'omer is going to Sodom. He's running after him. He captures Lot. He's going to take Lot all the way back to Bava. And he's going to stand Lot in front of a big TV screen, or I guess in those days a circus. And he's going to say, and what's your name? And Lot's going to say, Avram. And say, and you're the one who used to believe in Hashem? Yes, I'm the one who used to believe in Hashem. And do you still believe in Hashem? Now, Lot knows exactly what happened to his dad. that he's going to say, no, I don't believe in Hashem, it was a good thing, it was a nice idea, but it's not going to happen anymore. Avram's work going to go up in flames. For this, for the Chil Hashem of what would happen to Avram's, all Avram's work, for this he had to be most nervous. This, when he heard Lot's gone, he can't sit idly by, this is his whole life. This is Chil Hashem, that he doesn't believe in Hashem anymore. This he runs up to go and save his nephew Lot for. No, Emet Hashem, we should be zeicher to be mekayim. If there is a mitzvah, it's sort of a good thing to live in Eretz Yisrael. Mashiach comes in here, Yameinu, Amen.